I do apologize for anybody who was inconvenienced by the schedule change, and I really personally appreciate it. My husband was not feeling well, and we had this nor'easter, and we were stuck away from home for 4 extra days or something than we thought, and so it was really, really helpful to get back when we did, and so thank you for that. And I think that this is really this is the theme. I mean, really, what we did in canceling this, because we didn't have to. I could have taken this flight that would have got us in at 4 in the morning. But I really felt into that, and that just did not feel right to do. And actually, inconveniencing all of you and these voices in my head, oh, this is going to inconvenience Kate, and this is going to inconvenience the people. And then it was like, okay, let's get past the voices in the head and see what the truth is here. And the truth was, this was the right thing to do. And I called Kate, and she was immediately willing to go with the flow and be in it. And that is a testament to practicing that flow and being able to have the courage to say no when we need to say no is one of the root solutions for hormone imbalance. And, you know, that's something we talk about a lot in the course. And how we do that is really tied to ethics. And this exactly what happened with this course movement today, rescheduling this course a day later at the last minute and letting you all know and having it work out really just fine is a good example of what we end up needing to do in our lives. And it's a good example of hormone, of what I've come to see as the truth, which is, well, you know, truth with at least a small t, if not a capital T, that hormone balance is tied to ethics. And ethics is our ability to both be aware of what's going on inside of us, our internal yeses and nos and nothings, and then being able to have the courage to go with those yeses and nos or nothings if there's nothing there until things become clear. So we're going to talk about this a lot in the course, but today, Kate and I wanted to talk about mindset. And I'll jump right into that unless there's something else you want to say, Kate, before we get going.
Go, you know what? I just want to make sure everyone knows who you are. I know there's some people here that are new to the community, so I just want to briefly introduce how these calls got started. I recognized at yogahealer.com and with my podcast that there was a big hole between women and hormonal health, and I saw Dr. Claudia's her book, Balance Your Hormones, Balance Your Lives, that was published years ago. And I saw that she wasn't teaching anything online, and I was like, oh my gosh, like, let's just get this done. And so I sent her a sweet little note saying, like, you're amazing, you're amazing, you're amazing, talk to me. And she said, okay. And then what happened is her work started to become a lot more public and on a personal level for me, like my ability to step into inner listening and the feminine awakening of ethics, like what are feminine flow ethics, that started to awaken in me. It started to sort of like rock my inner world. And we created a course around it. And we'll tell you a little bit more about that later. I don't know, we have like over a third of the people on the call today are returning, are members of the course. But I just want to let people know, we'll let you know more about that later, so don't be surprised when we talk about that later in the call, or when I talk about it later in the call. And you know, what these calls are really to do is to help us just synchronize as a community and wake up to, all right, I'm not alone in actually being pretty disconnected from my flow and having a lot of symptoms, a lot of like hormonal health symptoms, whether it's my periods or whether it's menopause or whether it's mood swings or brain fog or thyroid issues or adrenal issues, right? Like I'm not alone. These are cultural issues, and we're just swimming in the sea of this sort of this lack around feminine radiance and feminine flow and listening inward. So I just wanted to tee it up a little bit there. It's all you, Dr. Claudia.
All right. Good. And since we're teeing up still, just to say and I know I say this almost every time I put out a mailing about these calls that we make, but this course is so close to my heart and so dear to my heart that we have a Facebook group page, and it's one of the only Facebook group pages that I'm on. And we've had it running for the 5 or 6 years we've been doing this course, and I've never once seen someone post something that's disrespectful or anything but supportive. It is a really special global group of people, and I care about you, and I love you. I really do. So I'm really happy to be back with all of you who are returning, and anybody who's thinking about joining this course, it's good company. It's really good company, and I'm glad you're here. Welcome. So, when Kate and I, we don't script out these calls, but we do talk a little bit about what's up for us before we come onto these calls and what a theme might be. And I had said to Kate that I thought awe was a good theme because it's something that I've been thinking about, and I posted on the Facebook group page for the course, and people, it seemed to really strike a chord. So I wanted to talk about awe and OGIS. And I think we'll actually not be able to get to talk too much about OGIS until our next free call, which is at the end of this run in about 7 or 8 weeks from now. We'll let you know on the group page. But awe is this interesting thing, and Kate brought in the word mindset. And these things actually have practical application to hormones, and this is something we can explore, that we do explore in the course, and that we'll explore more too in our next call, which is open for members of the course, and that will be in about 7 weeks or 8 weeks or something. Kate will let you know later, probably. Anyway, so in terms of awe and mindset, I've been meditating on this a little bit, and I think Kate has been too. And a few things come up for me. One is I want to start with, I think, which is this word mindset, which is so interesting because the mind is anything but set. I mean, it does get in a rut, but it is not set in the sense that we absolutely can make changes. There's neuroplasticity in the brain. There's thought creates biology. Emotion creates biology. And biology includes hormones. So this is extraordinarily related to hormones. You know, many times I've talked about, if you've heard me talk, that, you know, the second we go, where we kind of catch our breath and tighten, we're releasing cortisol and adrenaline into our systems. And that has an effect on our organs and our systems and our tissues. And we talk about that a lot in the course. And when we have loving emotions, when we feel connected to each other, other hormones like oxytocin and neurohormone gets secreted in greater measure in our organisms. And that has a different effect. That has, in fact, oxytocin, this may be come as a surprise to some of you, is considered a stress hormone because it is released when we have stress. But how much is, which is excellent because it has an anecdotal effect on the effects of high cortisol and adrenaline, the typical hormones we think of that are stress hormones that when increased end up having deleterious effects on our tissues and minds. So oxytocin is this bit of an antidote. And it gets secreted, and therefore the body secretes it in order to kind of mop up some of the problems that high cortisol and adrenaline create. But one thing we have available to us is the ability to allow more of that to be secreted. And we can do that in part by reaching out to our fellow men, women, and children. We talk about this in the course, the tend and befriend response, but this is really powerful. What it suggests is that stress can connect us. It can connect us to each other. And when we're connected to each other, that antidotes the negative effects of stress more. And there's a few things physiologically that I want to talk about this in terms of mindset and why set is sort of a strange word to use. And so I want to go into that. But Kate, any opening thoughts with related to this so far?
And keep rolling.
All right. So two things I want to talk about. I want to talk about the heart and I want to talk about the brain. And interestingly enough, and perhaps not surprisingly, these two organs are intimately connected in Tantra and yoga and Ayurveda. In fact, so much so that sometimes you're not sure in the classics whether the brain or the heart is being talked about because they're so intimately connected, and in ways that are fascinating and that we explore in the course. But let's look at the heart for a minute. There's one of the things we understand and that I've talked about a lot in my book and in previous courses is the effects of stress, the negative effects of stress on our lives and our health. And there's a wonderful TED talk by this woman, a health psychologist, she calls herself, I believe, Kelly McGonigal. And she talks about, if you just Googled Kelly McGonigal and stress under TED Talks, you'll find it fascinating. And what she's basically saying is she's apologizing for having spent decades making stress a villain. And she says, oh, I'm so sorry. I've been telling you that stress is a problem for so long. And when she brings in the science that shows that it's not so much stress that's the problem. It's the belief that stress is going to harm us that harms us. And she gives some very interesting statistics with that in the study. So basically, you know, they did a study and it wasn't the stress that harmed people. It was if you believe that stress is going to harm you, then it's going to harm you. And what they found is if you reframe how you think about stress, if you think about stress as your body's natural way of rising to a situation and to your environment and in such a way that is positive for your overall health, then this, something different happens physiologically, specifically with the heart. And what happens is, in a typical stress response, the adrenaline and the cortisol rises, and our hearts start pumping faster, and our blood vessels in our hearts constrict. But when we believe that stress is actually our physical response to stress is a positive thing, in a positive response to a situation such that it will motivate our bodies in the way we most need to be motivated to accommodate the situation, then what happens is, yes, our heart starts to beat more powerfully and faster, but the vessels, instead of contracting, they expand. So if you can picture that, and I would just ask everybody to imagine picturing what you feel like if you're stressed out, what your heart feels like. And I expect you feel a bit of a constriction. But if you think of that and you think of the blood rushing through the heart as a powerful response to a situation and it is increasing your vitality, deal with it, and you relax into that, then the blood vessels open. So you have this extra power kind of surging through your system, but there's a relaxation that's allowing that to move without resistance. And that, it's interesting, Kelly McGonigal talks about that as being more the physiology of joy, of courage. And so we have this, we have a way of thinking about things that will literally change the behavior and physiology of the heart in that way, and also in the fact that one thing you may not be aware of is the heart is an endocrine organ. It actually secretes oxytocin among other things. So the heart itself will secrete more oxytocin. So we have this ability by how we're looking at our stress to shift the physiology around that. And I really love that. But there's something about that talk and that premise that kind of stuck with me, in that what do you need in order to feel that way, in order to change our quote-unquote mindset, which we'll talk about more in a minute, what do we need to feel, in other words, if we know that how we think about stress affects how our hearts and physiologies deal with it, how can we feel good about what we're asking our bodies to do? All right, so I know this might be a little unclear, so I'm going to talk around this a little bit more. If we are stuck in a life that we hate, that we feel trapped in, that we feel obligated to, but not emergent from, and that's not the right word, we feel obligated to this life instead of enthusiastic about it, instead of engaged positively with it, instead of enlivened by it. If we feel trapped in this life, and that's the context in which we live, it's harder to talk ourselves into the idea that what we're asking our hearts to do is worth it. In other words, if I'm not liking this life to begin with, I'm not really all in to say, heart, get aboard, you know, take this stress and use it to so that I can more efficiently and healthily respond to this life. We're asking something of ourselves. We have to be behind that in our minds and our deepest hearts, let's say. We wouldn't ask a friend of ours to go to battle for us for something we don't believe in. And we're not likely, therefore, to ask our bodies to do the same thing. We're not likely to be all in on a life that we're not all in on. We're not likely to be convincing to our hearts and our physiologies that this is something worth stepping up for unless we believe this is stepping up for. Right? You follow? So it is imperative that we believe in the lives that we're living. If we believe in the lives that we're living, we can, with confidence and love and acceptance, ask our hearts when we're in what would be a stressful situation, okay, this is worth it. This is worth it for me to ask you to rise to this, heart, and I'm going to relax into this because this is my dharma, this is my ethics, this is what I'm supposed to be doing in my life. Then our hearts go, okay, let's relax into this and punch through what we need to punch through. And we get that yin-yang, that brahmana-langana experience in that we have power and relaxation in it. You know, living the life we want to live, it's not always going to be easy. And therefore, we need our physiologies to rise to this. But the effort and stress are different. It's like I think about Joan of Arc. Maybe that was her dharma to go into battle. That could not have been easy, but she was all in her life. So she was asking her heart, please rise to this occasion, and her heart likely did. So that's been on my mind in terms of the heart aspect of this. And before I go into the mind aspect, I want to see, Kate, do you have anything you want to add to that?
Thank you. I'm so eloquent. You know, I mean, it's interesting this, you know, for a lot of us, we might honestly not be honest with ourselves around this. I know I, in the past, have not been. And there's this word that we use, you know, a little bit frequently in Ayurveda about, like, violation. Like, that we actually violate our own inner knowing, which is such a sticky, kind of icky, like, to recognize in ourselves sometimes, like, oh, darn, these things in my life are not in alignment. I don't have control of my time or my experience in time, or I don't have my, you know, I'm not having the experience in my space, inner body space, or my outer environment that I want to. And I just want to recognize that, you know, if you haven't dropped into that, like, you know, you might want to drop in, because that's what Dr. Claudia is talking about. Like, that's the return to thrive, or for those who are in a level of thrive, like those are like the keys to the kingdom for the next level of capacity building. So I just wanted to throw that in, and And this idea that you said that we're not, you know, like, yeah, go ahead.
Well, the other thing I was thinking that you specifically might really resonate with here, Kate, is, you know, is this idea that we can raise oxytocin, we can help relax the physiology of our hearts and engage in our lives more. How do we increase that oxytocin? We reach out to others and we create what yeah. these days we're calling tribes,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
So the stress literally and physiologically gives us access to our hearts. And then by reaching out to others, we encourage our hearts to secrete more oxytocin. And we connect with others, and this has a really stabilizing effect on let's call it stress physiology, you know, where in the, and I'm just making that up, but, you know, it has a stabilizing effect on our organisms that are being otherwise negatively affected by stress hormones. So, you know, in groups like Healthier Hormones where, you know, and I know that I'm starting to sound like silly here, but there's no way to say this without saying it, but the groups that we are in, like the Healthier Hormones group, where we are recognizing the efforts that each other is making to be all in life and to have our hearts on board and we're willing to support each other by sharing our own experiences. This is medicine. I mean, this is really medicine. And as I move along in life, I stopped my private practice a while back. And so I'm not dealing directly with patient after patient after patient anymore, but in part, this is helping me drop more into this idea of becoming medicine rather than prescribing it. And this is not just for physicians and healthcare practitioners. This is for all of us because we are in a toxic environment and we need to be medicine for each other. And by opening our hearts, having our hearts on board because our minds and ethics and dharma and all that is on board with what we're doing in life, it changes our physiology. That allows us to stabilize not only ourselves but our communities. And when we serve others, oxytocin is released. You know, when we are served by others, oxytocin is released. So our actual hormone cocktail is influenced by who we're spending time with and how we're going about that. And so for you, Kate, you know, with, I think one of the ways you see yourself is as a community builder. And so you probably see this a lot. So the community aspect of hormonal health is curious to me. I appreciate
it. Yeah. And I mean, just straight up, there's great studies on habit evolution and dynamic groups. And it's like, if you want to get where you want to go faster, you better be in a group that's going in that direction. Otherwise, you just made it 10. Like, no, you didn't make it 10 times harder. You made it 70% harder. So you made it 7 times harder by trying to go it alone. So to me, that statistic is like, whoa, okay. I might as well sync up with people who are going. Like, where's that bus going? That's where I want to go too. Okay, I'm going to hop on. And when we get that, when we start to really pay attention to this, there's a relaxed flow because we don't have to, you know, I just want to say, like, for anyone who's like, wow, okay, I'm in listening to Dr. Claudia, like, I'm out of ethics with my own flow. No wonder I don't feel radiant, right? And so just to know, like, okay, like, just team up with other people who are wanting that and who are having that conversation, and then you can actually relax. And what Dr. Claudia is saying is, like, when you actually relax, that balances your hormones. Like, that starts to take care of the problem right there because you know you're on the right bus. So you don't have to walk, right? You're just like, you can just hang out, have a good time, join the party. And if we start to understand this, especially because, I mean, this call is like 99% women, if we start to understand that this is how transformation happens, right? And it's like being part of the right conversations, that's really important. What you'll start to notice after this call is you'll start to notice that you are in certain conversations that stress you out. That, like, they don't add a sense of dharma, like being on purpose with yourself and your time, and they don't add a sense of inner spark. I love that word spark, where you're like, oh, this is a sparky conversation where you get lit up from inside. And you feel that, like your brain's like, it's, your brain is like, you know, coming up with new ideas and having new realizations, and your heart is all in. And you start to feel like you're in a, you're exactly where you need to be right now. And that's how you know, like that's part of this inner radar of flow. And then you'll notice that there's certain things, there's certain conversations, there's certain things that you're doing, tasks, work, et cetera, responsibilities that are not sparky. And it's, that's the ethics part of like, okay, how do you start saying yes to spark and no to the lack of that? And when you live that, and when that, for me, when I have this at the forefront of my awareness, which I try to live there all the time, it makes change happen in ways that are so profound that I'm continually in awe.
There's that word.
There's that word. I call it the big awe.
Yeah.
That's my.
I call it that.
There's actually. I'll put a little shot on the forum, and I'll also put it on my Facebook page for non-members on the Yoga Healer Facebook page. I'm just like, I have a little drawing of the big awe, and it's just like, that's the, you know, that's where like that word mindset, like that's a, it's a training into something that's existing. I just want everyone to write down like, what is like one or two or maybe three things already that have been said that you need to mull over, that you need to maybe integrate into your awareness, into your thought patterning, into the plasticity of your mind.
And can I say something here?
It's all you. I'm done.
One is that you are not, but for now, maybe. Just for any of you introverts out there who heard Kate say, join the party and get on the bus and said, no, forget it. Thanks. I'm going to go read a book. I want to say I'm right there with you. And part of what I mean by community and reaching out isn't necessarily like, oh, I'm feeling stressed out, therefore I've got to go join a literal party, right? Which is something that horrifies some of us. It's more, for me, you know, if all the members of the Healthier Hormones Facebook page were having a drink somewhere, I'm not sure I would join, right? I might, but I'm not sure. But knowing that they're there, there is a community. I don't need to be seeing them face to face. This feels true to me globally, that we are not little islands in our separate efforts and countries, that we are connected by a resonance. And this feels very real to me. I actually love online learning because it, if you're in a room full of people, it's wonderful and you can see very much, oh, we are connected. There's something magic happening here. But getting online with people all around the world and feeling the same thing is equally interesting to me and equally meaningful because I feel that same light, that same magic afoot. That same enlivening principle that's connecting lots of us. I may not know your names and forms, and you may not know mine or your fellow participants, but we feel each other, and that's stabilizing. That's community. That's the party, right? That's the bus, and that's meaningful. That community, that reaching out, knowing that it's there, is a stabilizing factor. And I know many of you have expressed that to one degree or another. The last thing I want to say before moving on more into the mindset aspect of things here is to recall and remind about the medicine of subtraction, which is something that I talk about sometimes, because we often think, oh, you know, my hormones are out of whack. I need to take something, a remedy, an herb, you know, add a yoga practice, something like that. Whereas oftentimes our lives are so packed, so overwhelmed, so consumed with things we probably don't want to be doing, that the first medicine and perhaps the more powerful medicine of the moment is medicine of subtraction, having the courage to throw out some of the stuff that's sinking you. And this is powerful, and it's really deeply good, and it's really deeply scary, which is a paradox we've talked about a lot. Like, why does it take so much courage to do what we most want to do? And why does it take so much courage to stop doing what we really don't want to be doing? These things take courage. Integrity takes courage, and courage is not always doing something. Courage is often not doing something. So that's a place we can start somewhere. All right, I want to talk about mindset, unless you have anything else to chime in with, Kate.
No, go for it.
Okay. So mindset is, you know, it's sort of like we have to remember if we're thinking of ourselves as having a mindset, it's a very, very temporary thing, because the mind is changing. The brain is changing all the time. The field of neuroplasticity, how the neural pathways are changing in the mind and in the body, is phenomenally interesting. It is just so interesting. And in the last 20 years, 30 years, especially the last 10 years, it's just exponentially becoming more and more evident and clear that we can change our mental pathways, that we can change the physical expressions of those mental pathways in very, very real ways. Like, for example, let's take pain. There's some very interesting work being done, and you can read about it in a book called The Brain's Way of Healing by Norman Doidge. It's a follow-up to his The Brain That Changes Itself, which was one of my favorite books of all times. But if you're interested in what I'm about to say, that there you can find, you know, the studies behind this and so forth, and more about this in chapter one for him. And it relates very much to what we talk about in this course in terms of the sense organs being related to the mind, and in terms of how we create change in the mind using love and focus and so forth. But I want to talk about what they're finding just for a moment in terms of competitive plasticity. This is a cool new term, but competitive plasticity, which is this phenomena where when we are focusing on something, a greater and greater portion of our brain becomes lit up, consumed by that thing we're focusing on. So it takes up, if we're focused on pain, physical pain, for example, a greater and greater portion of that part of the brain that deals with pain starts to be activated all the time, and it becomes chronic pain. And some cases, very, very debilitating chronic pain, where the person is on all kinds of pain meds and they can no longer work, they can't function, they're in pain 100% of the time. And so this is severe chronic cases that I'm talking about that have developed. And what they find when they look at the brain is that this part of the brain that deals with pain, it's been taken over. And they've found ways to deal with this. And one of the ways that they deal with it is very creative, and it's very yogic in a lot of ways, in ways that we kind of talk around and with about in our course, where if at that moment of pain, the person uses it as an opportunity to not get rid of the pain, to not get rid of this discomfort of life, but to focus on something different, and they focus on that very carefully, they can, over the course of a month or two or three, get rid of chronic debilitating pain. And some of these stories are written in that book that I mentioned. So how they'll do that, this particular pain doc has been working with people, and how he'll do this is he'll show them a picture of a CT scan, I think, a picture of what the brain looks like in pain and what a normal brain looks like. And what he'll do is he'll say, okay, this is what your brain is looking like right now. Whenever you have pain, which for many of these people is constant, and so they're just sitting there so they can do it all day long for a while, whenever you have pain, focus on visualizing the brain that looks fine, the brain that looks like it's the healthy brain, the no-pain brain. And so what will happen is the patients will get kind of discouraged for the first 3 weeks because not much happens. Maybe they'll have a minute without pain. But then it starts to snowball in a good way, and they get completely pain-free within a few months. So there's enough of these stories that it's that where people have been in chronic pain for 13 years, including the guy, I think, who started this study and experiment. So it's very convincing, and it's very interesting. And to me, in terms of how thought not only creates chemistry, but it literally changes the neural pathways in our brains. And it's interesting in that way. And it's especially interesting in, okay, these people are visual. In order to shift their brain's experience of pain and their body's experiences of pain, they are visualizing a healthy brain. This is what they've done, is they have taken this healthy image of a healthy, pain-free brain, and they are trying to adopt it into their identity, into their physiological identity, into what they so that their body can identify with being pain-free. This image conceivably could be anything. And in fact, our body images, often what scientists call the virtual image, the virtual body image, which we have other words for in yogic language, the pranamaya kosha or the manomaya kosha or ahankar, whatever, all kind of related. But whatever language we use, we have an image of our brain. We have an image of our hearts. We have an image of our bodies. And when we visualize what we would like to see, we create an image that we would like to see, and we visualize that, we meditate on that, then we start becoming that. We become what we focus on. We feed what we focus on. And understanding that we have this ability to change our mindset, that it's very plastic, is powerful. It's powerful. So what's happening here with competitive plasticity, you've got the same part of the brain, which is the posterior parietal lobe, but who cares? It's a part of the brain. You have the same part of the brain that processes both pain and visual perception. So by constantly visualizing, which is visual perception, during the experience of pain, you can end up preventing that part of the brain from processing pain. So it's a powerful, it's powerful to think about that in terms of the same kind, in the same way that we were just considering the heart, that we have the ability to change the physiology of the heart by how we're moving forward in our, by how we talk to the heart, by how, you know, if we say, okay, this is worth you stepping up to, please step up. I appreciate you stepping up with the stress response and responding to the environment and the demands I'm putting on you and that the environment is putting on you. I appreciate that. I'm behind it. I'm with you. Let's relax the vessels. The vessels relax. We can move forward with this yin-yang experience of both power and relaxation. And I'm not saying like personal power, like I'm so powerful, but just the power that our bodies themselves release to rise to an occasion. So we have this experience of this power, this release of vitality, as well as this relaxation, that also, the same things that we talked about with the heart, apply to the brain in a sense. If we are feeling, I expect that if this is, if we can change the body's experience of physical pain by changing the brain, we can also similarly affect the body's experience of stress by visualizing during times of stress, using that as an opportunity to repattern the brain and to choose what we're focusing on. It's such an interesting thing. Years ago, I was in Albuquerque, and there's this wonderful woman. Oh, her name is escaping me. She wrote Cave in the Snow, or it was about her, Cave in the Snow. I've met her. She's lovely. She's a Buddhist nun. For some reason, her name is escaping me at the moment. Anyway, I was going to listen to her speak, the first time I ever heard her speak, and she was talking about how much choice we have. And in many spiritual paths, including my own, there's this paradox where, and including hers, there's this paradox where we have so little control over so much in our lives. And part of the spiritual experience is to recognize how little control we have over things. And that incites us to a new level of engagement with what we do have control over. And that is our thoughts. And what this woman was saying is we have an enormous amount of choice over what we think. And for some reason I'm thinking of her, but my guru also said the same thing. You know, somebody asked him once, you know, all these thoughts come into my mind. Am I, you know, I can't be responsible for them. And he said, absolutely, you're responsible for them. There is a level, even though it's extraordinarily difficult sometimes, there's a level of awareness and understanding and acceptance that helps me with this to realize, okay, even though this is overwhelming and it seems like the mind is an unending onslaught of thoughts, I do have the control that I do, I have the choices that I do have in terms of working to discipline and focus that mind. And discipline and focus often may make us feel kind of tight and rigid, but it can also be a relaxed focus. In fact, I would suggest that the most effective focus is one that is relaxed. And I think we talk about this in the course, the 1-2 kind of consideration of the combination of focus and love in terms of supporting change, brain change. But the point is both the heart and the brain are not set. They're changeable. And they're changeable at the discretion of what we're thinking and what we're choosing to focus on. And even if it's difficult to focus in the middle of emotional pain or physical pain, and I think that we can apply the physical pain experience to emotional pain as well, although I haven't seen major studies about that in terms of brain changing, but I'm sure there may well be. So we have this ability, and to do it takes courage, and to do it, I think, takes community, whether you literally spend a lot of time in a room with a lot of people or you just are connected to them in a way that feels comfortable to you. It's an important tool.
Yeah. It was pretty cool. Cause as you were speaking, I looked up and I have, many of you are in my courses know that I get us to draw pictures a lot. I'm pretty into blank white paper and colored pens or markers. And I looked up at this picture, which is this sort of this next phase of growth and grounding and radiant flow for me. And it's really interesting. In the picture, I'm standing there, I've got this cape on and there's this big pink heart in my chest. And I'm shooting this arrow at this target that, and the target is strategic focus and systems thinking, which are some things that I'm trying to step into right now. And my point in sharing this little story is that, you know, it's like when we get that, we sort of need a picture of where we're trying to go so that we can make better choices, so that we know what to focus on, what to discipline our plastic mind to, it's incredibly helpful, and it's fun. It's fun to draw. It's really creative. I'm really into drawing. I have a 9-year-old, so it's fun because kids are into drawing too. All kids like to draw their thoughts, and for some reason, in Western education, a lot of us got out of using visual images to align ourselves. And so it was so cool in that teaching that you gave with the pain centers and the visual centers of the brain and the overlap to start to see, like, okay, well, what does that mean for you right now? You know, like, what is that? How are you going to do that? And for anyone who's coming here into this conversation because of, you have symptoms, right? Like, your body is communicating discomfort, or your emotions are communicating discomfort, and you're not really sure what to do, right? There's this sense of, like, well, some part of you is pretty sure what to do. And some part of you knows that you have to say no to certain things, and that you have to listen to some inner yeses and have to start aligning. And when Dr. Claudia talks about the ethics, like, that's what she's talking about. And it takes courage. It takes discipline, focus. It really does. And so if you can draw a picture, or if you can have an image that help trigger those thoughts, like, okay, this is, and to me, it's like the next mindset. It's like the next level of who I'm becoming, what I'm trying to make more real. That's not real right now. It's just, I want it to be a little more real in my future. And I know that it's all plastic. I know that I get to design who I am and who I am becoming. There's an enormous power that Dr. Claudia Ashley just spoke about. There's an enormous power in that perspective. And for many of us, we get that, like, we need to keep reinforcing that. You know, we need to keep reinforcing that perspective. And so what's the plan there? One of the things I wanted to mention is that,
go ahead.
Yeah, so one of the things I wanted to mention is that, you know, many of us here on the call are yoga teachers or wellness practitioners, and many of us on the call are just simply people seeking more wellness. And I just reflect on how grateful I am that I went to school for Ayurveda and yoga and studied seriously early on enough in life to understand some of these fundamentals deeply, and then continued the sort of lifelong learning quest on it. And that how for many of us who haven't gone deep into Ayurvedic philosophy or Chinese medicine philosophy, there's so many unconnected dots. There's so much information. There's like the wellness tabloids out there now that come up with these headlines and suck us into information overload and to quick fixes. And it gets really confusing to filter through all that into just really get centered on, like, what is the conversation in my own head that I really, you know, that lights me up, that I should be having. And that leads me to, you know, initially to symptom-free living, like, where you don't have symptoms. You don't have endocrine imbalances, hormonal imbalances, but you have deep wellness where you experience thrive. And then when that happens, there's new, in my experience, there's next levels of thrive. And that is where it gets really super exciting. And I just want to say, like, if, you know, no matter how broken you are, if you're listening and you're feeling kind of broken right now, like, just, I hope this is inspiring you to know that there's a lot, you have a lot of choices and you know what they are.
It's a powerfully hopeful situation. It's a powerfully hopeful situation. You know, our mindset and our bodies, our current mindset and our current bodily situation is determined on our background. But our what we do with our mind now sets the course for the future. You know, I mean, it's such a powerfully interesting time right now in the world of science, right? For so long, we thought that the brain was pretty stable and that it didn't regenerate. We know it now regenerates. We know it now has this unbelievable magic plasticity kind of stuff that goes on, that it's always changing and can reform even from pretty severe situations. And we used to think we were determined by our genetics. Now we know that there's epigenetics that are governed by our lifestyle and diet and help us activate or deactivate genes we do or don't want to be active. You know, what our minds do affects our body, and, you know, so mind-body medicine is becoming even more of an open book to us. It's still got all these wonderful mysteries, thankfully. That's part of the joy, but so many interesting things happening. I want to mention that even though our conversation today is going into these kind of abstract, wide places, and we do go into some abstract, wide things more deeply in the course, there's also practical things. We're not just all in our heads here. You know, there's really practical things that are going on, but we have to have this kind of esoteric conversation because thought creates biology. If we're not affecting our thoughts and our outlooks, then our struggle with our physiology is just an uphill struggle. Whereas if we shift the underlying causes for things, then it's very supportive. But I wanted to share before we're done, because I know we're coming close to the end of the call, I wanted to share two quotes from our Facebook page of people sharing stories that were fun. Can I read those, Kate?
Please do.
So one is about wireless bras, and she says, after the thread about wireless bras, I did a quick shop for a few, haven't yet found something on the cool option Dr. C arranged for us, and just experienced my first pain-free breasts before menstruating in years. Huzzah, if you haven't already switched, do it. I love that, and there's reasons for that that we talk about in the course. Then this one. Woman says her blood sugar levels are good. She says, good morning. I'm so grateful to be part of this group. In the past few months, I've slowly come to realize the connection between stress-secreting hormones and the impact on the body. I had a very stressful job, and my mom passed last year. In July, I found out my metabolic syndrome had blossomed into full-fledged diabetes. I'd wasted a few months filled with guilt, so helpful, right? And finally began to turn things around as I moved on to a more orderly job, which I love, and got back into Ayurveda. As a result, my blood sugars are now normal, non-diabetic range, and I've dropped a bunch of weight, which once seemed impossible. Who knew the effects of oil massage and routine would show up in actual numbers rather than just making you feel good? So I loved that. And the last little thing I'll say, because I think it'll lead to us to our next call in 7 or 8 weeks, Kate will let us know, is... I posted this quote that I really like. It says, only to the degree that people are unsettled is there any hope for them, Ralph Waldo Emerson. And I've been very much enjoying that and kind of practicing being in awe of the unsettledness around us and me, but being in awe instead of as an alternative to the stress. So we were talking about that in the Facebook forum, and we thought we might talk more about that in our next call. So I'm going to turn the rest of the call over to you, Kate, and everybody. Thank you so much for being here and being willing to go to these esoteric, interesting places and come back into more practical words and understand that the two are connected. Nice to be here.
Yeah. Kate. I have a quote on my wall. I got to share my quote, and it's from a Porsche ad, and it says, either you drive disruption or you're outpaced by it. And it's the same thing of like, just be getting comfortable with disrupting what's not working in our lives. Like what's really blocking the deeper flow. So what I'm going to do now, I'm going to talk a little bit about the course, and then current members, if you stay on, I'm gonna have a few questions and some news for you. We'll do a little polling at the end, and you've been super responsive on the forum to that question around voting on the next quick videos that me and Dr. Claudia will be making for the group. So just stay on, and I'll talk about that in a minute. But for those of you who are like, okay, tell me about the group, yogahealer.com/healthier-hormones. That's where you want to go. You'll be sent a link with the recording to the call and information on the page. But basically, the course isn't just information. It's a lot about practices. It's actually about making the changes in real time in your life. And it's a short course. It's 6 weeks.
But there's a lot of information.
There's a lot of information. And that's why we do it as a community. We do the course every year. I actually posted on the forum, like, this is the reason I'm taking the course again this time. This is what I'm doing this time in this course. Because I haven't caught it all. I'm not there. I'm not where Dr. Claudia is in her knowledge of this. And so every time I redo the course, I learn a little bit more, and it shifts deeply. It shifts my cellular integrity and my knowledge and my ability also to see, for those of the practitioners out here, the yoga teachers and practitioners, you'll start to see what's going on another level. So you'll be able to connect the dots. So for anyone who's also just like looking for a deeper understanding of how your body works, and you don't want to go to Chinese medicine school, or you don't want to go to Ayurveda college, then, you know, this is a way of updating, of getting like, okay, this is how my hormones work. Which, if you don't have that, you don't know. And we don't know what we don't know, right? If we don't know, if we don't understand that all that stuff about the courage and the heart and the brain and decision making and focus, and you don't know. And so you're operating on a much more limited belief system. So it's a way of updating your belief system with real practices in real time. And I just want to mention too, like, sometimes for those of us who are, you know, are fairly evolved and we've done some work, like there's still like the subtle level of like the unhealthy cravings. And there's still the subtle levels where we feel out of integrity with ourselves. And I know for me, that's been an ongoing inquiry of like, how do I step into deeper flow, deeper radiance, right? And see like what does that even enable in my life? And so if that for you, if that's something that you're interested in, then this is a powerful conversation to be part of. And, you know, what I keep coming down to too is this idea of like, what is empowered body wisdom? Like, what is that right now? And how can I at least have that operating system going on in my background? Because if I do, then like, wow, like that's a very powerful way to navigate aging, to navigate this next decade, and then the decade after that, and the decade after that. So there's just the way we roll the course out is it's six audio lessons, and then there's extra videos and recorded Q&A sessions that we've done over the past 5 years that you have access to. And then, like I said, we do new content. So we produce new, very short videos to watch that are just part of our current conversation. So what the cool thing is like, it's so inexpensive. It's $297 to join the course and community, and it doesn't die. And there's no like annual membership fee. You just like, once you're in, you're in. And so for the people that are current members, if you're listening and you're like, my friend has to do this, like, please get them in. Like, that's why we do this, is so that we can help each other. We can be operating on the same, you know, sort of baseline operating system of like, okay, this is our understanding of how the endocrine system works and how to thrive and the practices that make the biggest difference in real time. So the way it actually works is our group is starting March 23rd, where we'll send out like, hey, here's lesson one, and in the forum we'll get going, and it'll be very, you know, dynamic, and people will be reporting on what they're learning and what practices they're starting and what's actually starting to shift, either shifting in their awareness first, in their thoughts, and then in their actual lives and showing up in real reality second. So I also have a special offer for those, for the first 20 people who sign up. I'm gonna throw in one of my little bonus workshops, which is immune building. You'll have your choice of immune building 101 or healthier kids for those of you who have kids and want your kids to kind of get on board with some of the changes. And so basically, again, yogahealer.com/healthierhormones. And that page has tons of videos and information and will help you, you know, answer all of your questions of what actually is in each individual lesson, which I am not going to go over right now. So that is that. And then I just want to talk to the current members for a moment. And I, Dr. Claudia, if you need, oh no, you don't need to go anymore because you're not catching a flight as we originally arranged. Okay, cool. So I just want to read off some of the top videos. And I want to tell Dr. C this too. So I don't think you know this about me, but I've been doing this intermittent fasting since about mid-January, and it's really having a shift. And it's actually my libido is starting to really wake up after years of being somewhat dormant, which I find very fascinating. So there's this question on intermittent is the next video that has risen to the top of our poll on the Healthy Hormones Forum is intermittent fasting healthy or helpful for women with hormonal imbalance? Because there's a lot of research out there that shows different, conflicting information. Okay, number two is, do I need to align my period with the moon cycle? You called that one. You said, like, people really, like, even though we've talked about this forever in this course, the members still want to know more. So that's good. That's number two. And then number three is, which are the yin-yang hormones in man and how to understand the differences between male and female hormones? And that is, I mean, the course is packed with that, but I think, you know, I think we have to do a specific video on that. And I just want to say, you guys, that what I wanted to, you know, for current members, like, that's open. You'll notice there's 8 more options below. Like, get in there, add the video you want us to make, and we'll make a few of these, right? And then just see, like, if you haven't checked these videos, vote on them so we can see what rise to the top three, and those are the next three videos that we will be making. All right, that's it. Thank you all so much for being here. You'll receive the recording. Feel free to share it with a friend if you think it could help them out as well. Any closing thoughts, Dr. Claudia?
Just thanks for being here, everybody.
Yeah, awesome. All right, I'm going to go ahead and unmute the lines and just deep bow to the community. Namaste.
Well, it's okay. Now my concern, I'm just anxious. That's how life can be.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for getting in.
But I'm liking it.
Dr. Wells.